Yes. So my subject today, my topic is going to be on how God is our restorer and redeemer. Restoration and redemption, we are quite familiar with those terms in our faith as we walk through our lives as Christians. We think we understand them, and I want to explore that a bit today, and that's what the Lord has put on my heart about that. I mean, as we think of restoration, we typically think of restoring something back to its original condition, taking an old car and restoring it and bringing it back and looking like new again. But what I'm, you know, or maybe a piece of furniture as an example, we try to create in it that like new look. And what in the Bible, though, restoration is far more than that. It is, and what restoration means to him is restoring back more than has been lost. Meaning that taking that thing, vehicle or whatever it may be, but in this case, people, and not just bringing us back to a place of new, but giving us more, much more. More than we deserve, more than we could imagine. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief's mission is to steal and destroy. My purpose, God's purpose, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And in Joel 2:25, I will give back what was lost to the swarming locusts. I sent this army against you. Once again, you have all of the food you want. You will have... you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. He goes on in verse 28 and adds, then after doing all of these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. So it's abundance. God pours out his abundance in the process of restoration. I think of my own life, and when I was a young man, and sometimes I just shudder. I don't even want to think back of what I was like in so many ways and how I was headed for destruction. And I don't I'm not one of those people who like to dwell on the testimonies of how bad I was and how God has turned me around, because I just do not want to think about it. But I say that, though, to say that God rescued me from that destruction, and then he gave me an upgrade. He didn't just rescue me, saved me, which is wonderful in itself. You know, as they say, we are Christians, we walk around with our fire insurance. We are saved, but what more can we thank him for that he's done for us? What is the upgrade that he's given us on top of that? He's restored us not just back to where we were. I don't want to be back to where I was before I accepted the Lord. I don't want that. I mean, where the playing field is even. I want more than that, and I thank him for that. So much more. And He continues to add more every day. As we walk in faith with him, we see, if we take a moment and think, we see all the things that he's doing daily in our lives to improve and to add and to correct and to adjust. If you're walking in the Spirit, you know that you can't step too far out of line and you get called on it. Holy Spirit says, no, that's not good. No, that's wrong. I want you to do this. I want you to make this adjustment. Turn this way, that way. That's all part of this upgrade I'm talking about. The restoration isn't to just get us into heaven and then that's the end of it. No, right now we are playing an important role in God's restoration here on earth, right now with the other people. So it's not just us that's being restored, it's those we come in contact with. And I'll get into that in more detail as we go. God is our is a redeemer. He can take difficult and traumatic experiences in our lives and redeem those times with beauty. God doesn't let those times in our lives be wasted or lost. Every broken segment or painful relationship is not wasted. He, as creator, takes these broken pieces and makes something beautiful. In Ephesians 2:4-7, reads, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." So God can point to us in the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Our worldly definition of redemption is an act of gaining possession of something in exchange for payment, or in church parlance, to save someone from being lost to sin. To expand on the idea of redemption, we see the Holy Spirit take our times and moments in our lives, and by his hands, something ugly he can redeem and make beautiful. Something ugly he can make beautiful. That's remarkable. It is good to know that God doesn't waste our pain. After all the pain that Job went through, he writes, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, and yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." And that's after Job lost everything. He was virtually a destroyed man, yet he was able to speak those words. Our Redeemer does live. He lives today. He lives in and through us. He lives around us. We get to live in that redemption, and that's powerful. Broken things can often be repaired and made to look good as new, but oftentimes there are hidden cracks and fissures that never get repaired, and that's like us, right? Only our Creator, God, has the power to expose these hidden flaws and in turn create something better than the original. People can be like this. If you look at King David, the most broken man in the Old Testament, or Jesus, the most broken man of the Gospels, or Paul, the most broken man in the apostolic writings, we see a broken vessel being useless and no longer functioning. However, God not only sees those broken things, but is looking for, I'm sorry, I read my own notes, I messed up here. God is looking for broken vessels. We can look at what God did with David after he wrote, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of my mind like a broken vessel. I have had experience with Sozo Ministries and Theophostic Ministries, and I've seen God move and repair broken vessels, and I've seen how that those cracks and fissures in humans that were hidden, and the people around them maybe not have known, or even themselves were unaware of why they were in such pain. I've seen God take those broken things and make repairs that only he can do. Only he can go deep inside into the inner minds of in the painful areas of our lives and do repair work. And I've seen that actually happen right in front of my eyes. I've seen where people were carrying with them throughout their lives lies that the enemy had placed in their minds through perceptions of trauma and pain. They were given this lie that they were less than, or they were the cause of some conflict, or their parents' divorce, or you name it. And unaware that these lies were deep and hidden in there, they just couldn't explain why they would react the way they did and why they carried such sadness and bitterness and unforgiveness and so much. And then God would reveal himself in situations where those memories were brought back to the surface, and he would repair. He would do damage repair. He would fix the lie with truth. He'd replace it. And the people would come out of that experience restored. And not just restored, you know, to a place that's level, but restored and redeemed beyond with more freedom, a new freedom they had never experienced before. And I've been a part of that, and I've seen that happen. When we think of Job in the Bible, we think of a man who was holy, upright, yet he was placed in total misery. He did nothing wrong, yet he suffered a great deal. One moment, he was a picture of health, wealth, and happiness. The next moment, death hit, and Job mourned the loss of 7 sons and 3 daughters. Lack hit, and all of his wealth disappeared. Sickness happened, and then there were open sores all over his body. Relationship troubles occurred, and his wife turned on him, telling Job to curse God and die. Even his once loyal friends lost respect and blamed Job for his trials. Can you imagine how alone, desperate, and defeated Job must have felt? He was attacked from every angle, with no relief in sight. In due time, however, God intervened. In Job 42:10, we read, "We learn that the Lord not only restored Job, but gave him twice as much as he had before. The faithful servant of God received double. And today, God is still the God of double portion. He is the God of restoration, better than before." In spite of the biblical definition of the name Job, which scholars say translates to, quote, the persecuted one, which describes his struggles, he would not be perpetually defined by that. Job came out of a season of persecution and into a season of restoration. Looking at your life right now, you might label yourself the persecuted one, the struggling one, the depressed one. You might even consider yourself the forgotten one, the lonely one, the sick one, the defeated one. You may become the restored one, the redeemed one, and the joyful one. You will be called the healed one, the victorious one. A tangible example of this restoration process is interesting. I discovered in Japan they have this art called kintsugi. And kintsugi means golden joinery, or to patch something with gold. And I thought that was a great illustration in the physical of what happens in the spiritual with God's definition of restoration in us. It's an age-old custom of repairing cracked pottery with gold. They not only fix the breaks, in the vessel, but by doing so, they greatly increase the value and of the piece. So they start with, we'll go to the next slide, let's see. Here's a beautiful picture of biblical restoration. God redeems and restores every piece of our story. Romans 8:28 says, "And now we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This verse is saying that God uses our grief, joy, loss, gain, trials, and triumphs. Nothing is wasted. I recently read where the person who was writing was told by the Holy Spirit Do not give power to present circumstances. What I see in this is that by doing this, we empower the problem and we place power in the wrong hands. The power for what we are facing is in God's hands. Let's let God do the repair work. Let's let him add the gold into our lives. Our present circumstances do not have to define our future. Do not relinquish power to the situation. Keep it in God's hands. Our last small group meeting, last Wednesday, we were talking about circumstances seeming overpowering and situations in our lives that seem to be beyond our ability to control or handle. And it is then that we put on the full armor of God to stand. And we were reminded, just stand, that God has provided us the power to do that. He has given us the ability to stand in the midst of extreme difficulty. Standing in the full knowledge of his ability and power, not our own. So we begin by thanking and expecting this and thanking the Lord for his restoration. Remember Romans 12, admonition to renew your minds and to remind ourselves of who God is, that he alone holds the power of restoration and redemption. Praise him before the breakthrough and rejoice with him before the victory. As we have seen, God is in the restoration and redemption business. He uses us as partners in the process. We are surrounded by broken people in pain, sorrow, and grief. They're in our lives. They're everywhere. And many of these people are very difficult to love. Our job as Christians is to love them in the midst of their stuff. I would like to refer to it as choosing to love on purpose. It may not be how we feel at the moment or even what we want to do, but we do have a choice in the matter, and we can choose to love. I see it as part of our role to play in his redemption process. When we listen to the challenges, their challenges, we pray for them. We get to participate in God's healing and mending, his restoration. We can choose to love on purpose even when we have been offended. Look at Matthew 5:24 with Jesus and the Beatitudes spoke, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. I mean, I love my brother. He's my younger brother. I love him dearly. But he lives 50 yards from my house. And because of fear of COVID, he wouldn't walk 50 yards to attend Sharon and my wedding. And that doesn't mean that I stop loving him. I feel for him. My compassion goes out for him. I'm in empathy and sympathy with the fear that gripped his life amidst that period that even continues to this day. I'm not going to allow that to get in the way of my love for him. I choose to love on purpose, regardless of that. But it was I could be offended by that. Obviously, I think we would say that would be normal. But we have to live abnormal lives, don't we? We're not just of this world, so we need to think about that when we're around people who are difficult to love in situations like that. As part of the restoration God is and has done in us and how he is using us to partner with him for others' restoration, we can feel ineffective or that God is slow in taking action. I say this because I know that oftentimes do our best as we relate to other people, we feel as though things aren't happening fast enough. You know, there's just not, God's taking his sweet time, and we'd like to see some restoration more evident, quicker. We'd like to see our prayers answered quicker, or the fruit of our prayers ripen sooner. Our patience is tested. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people might think. No, he is being patient for our sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. I think that scripture says a lot. And he knows what he's doing. He's in that restoration and redemption process. You know, it's his business, I should say. That's his business. As I encourage you to choose to love on purpose, I also encourage you to pay close attention to the timing people enter our spheres or influence. We are familiar with the concept of divine timing. Oftentimes, the reason we are in a particular circumstance or situation with others is that God has that moment in time for us for that reason. It's fun and exciting to partner with God and the Holy Spirit, keeping our eyes and ears open to what he has positioned us for. We get to be partners with him in the restoration of others. We get to look into people's lives and love them on purpose. We get to reflect the image of Christ to them that they may not see anywhere else. And sometimes we don't know why it is that things aren't happening fast enough, or why our prayers don't seem to be answered. It's because it's God's timing. I think that's what I'm trying to get across here with my message this morning, is that we can be impatient, we can be dissatisfied with our ineffectiveness in the lives of others. We can feel like we're not really having an impact. But we play a significant role in God's restoration process. And so I just encourage you to surrender that impatience and that dissatisfaction with how slow the process seems to be taking in the lives of particularly those people in our family and our loved ones. We just don't see the results. The trust that God has it in his timing, and that you're there in their lives for a reason for this time. And that just trust in that, and leave the gold up to him. He adds that part. That's his job. We can't add the gold. We don't get to do that part, but we get to help in the process of just leading them to the gold provider, right? Yeah. And I just want to encourage you this morning with that. Keep your eyes and ears wide open. I'm praying to myself about that. We're about our business day in, day out with coworkers, employees, customers. We're in the marketplace. We're around people all the time. Our antenna should always be up, listening, watching for evidence of God's timing. And maybe we're the person that person needs to be in their life for that moment. So I just encourage you that way. I want to end my message I just want to say, be blessed as you go forth in fullness of joy, touching the world around you with a redemptive and restorative love of Jesus. And thank you for the opportunity to bring this message this morning. Amen.